Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
I'm talking about the difference between fans and followers, and I know I'm preaching to the proverbial choir, because on a Wednesday night, if after all you've done today, you've been up since 5 a.m., you didn't get dinner yet, and you came to church, you are the cream of the crop of followers, because you said, I can't wait till Sunday to go back and worship. I can't wait till next Sunday to go back and serve. I definitely can't wait till Christmas or Easter. God, I will follow you. Followers are soul conscious. We learned last week. What is the point if we gain the world but lose our soul? Everything that people are working so hard for will disappear in eternity. Most of it will disappear in this life. It's not worth your soul. Whatever you're chasing, whatever you're pursuing, whatever you are following Living Way, it is not worth your soul. It is not worth eternity. It is not worth your relationship with Jesus. And so every decision we make, we must be soul conscious. Am I forfeiting my eternity for what feels good now? Fans like to feel good, but remember, followers sacrifice. And although it may be uncomfortable in this moment, it will always be worth it. Somebody say worth it. And then, amen, praise God. Somebody shouted it. And finally, followers, last week we talked, are unashamed. You can't be vocal about Jesus on a Wednesday night and act like you don't know him on a Thursday morning. You can't worship him on a Wednesday or a Sunday with arms uplifted and then whisper about him for the rest of your week. I told you, when I wear our church merch and our gear, and some of it says Jesus is hope or I love my church, I get those comments out in public at HEB or the gas station, and it's usually the older white women, and they say, I love your shirt. And I say, excuse me? You know how I respond? Yes, ma'am, Jesus is hope. Praise God. Where do you go to church? Who's your pastor? Can I pray for you? And they start looking around, and they put up their hands like, hey, let's keep this between. No. When God's done something good in your life, and if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, and he's really transformed your life, you're not going to keep it to yourself. You're going to tell the doctor. You're going to tell, when you go to the doctor, you're going to be witnessing to him about your healing. When you go to the attorney, you're going to talk about how you've got an advocate named Jesus that is better than any law team on the face of the earth. Can I encourage you, as followers of Jesus, we are unashamed. And then we left in Matthew 26, verse 57, those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas. Jesus has just been arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. He has prayed such an intense prayer that the blood vessels in his forehead have broken, and he is sweating now blood because he is praying to the Father. I know what your will, I know what you want, I know what you sent me to do. In my flesh, I don't want to do that, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. That's follower talk. God, it's uncomfortable in April, but what you lead me to, I know you're going to lead me through. Where you call me, God, I know I'm going to be able to defeat every Goliath and every enemy that sets up in front of me. I'm talking to somebody that has that same spirit that Jesus had, that raised him from the dead, but also in Gethsemane, that reminded him, this is why God put you on earth, was to fulfill this plan and to walk into this promise. And I know the next 72 hours are going to be tough. I know the season you're in is going to be tough, but you are going to make it to resurrection if you keep the faith and you follow no matter what. Those who arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teachers of the law and the elders had assembled. But Peter followed. And in my daily reading, this is where this series was birthed, because it says in verse 58, but Peter followed him at a distance. That's a haunting verse to me, y'all. This is one of the 12 disciples that Jesus walked up to and said, follow me. made no promise of riches, made no promise of fame, made no promises. He said two words, follow me. And remember, Peter walked away from his family, walked away from his career, walked away from everything he knew, and he followed Jesus. But this is what haunts me about this, is he followed Jesus until the most important part of following him. He followed him through it all until the cross. It got dicey, and Peter didn't quit following Jesus, but he followed him at a distance from afar. Right up to the courtyard of the high priest, he entered and sat down with the guards to see the outcome. For the most part of this series, we have discussed the difference between believers and followers. However, let's look at the difference between followers, because there is a difference in how you follow Jesus. You know, there's people that you run into that they're dropping F-bombs and they're cussing and they're carrying on and they're talking about their sexual exploits and they're talking about all of the craziness of this world, and then they find out you go to church, and then they have the nerve to say, oh yeah, I go to church too. When someone tells me they go to church, the first thing I ask is, what's the church name and who's your pastor? You've never heard the stuttering and stammering. They can't figure out the guy's name. If you don't know the church name or the pastor's name, you ain't going to church much. But if they're acting like that, and then they find out that you call yourself a Christian, they say, oh yeah, I go to church too. No, I don't go to church, I am the church. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. You are a fan of Jesus Christ. You know of Jesus Christ. I know him personally. I know him by name. He knows me by name. He has transformed my life. Let me tell you, before I met Jesus, I talked like them, walked like them, worked like them, acted like them. But when I started following Jesus, it's funny, my life started matching his life. My words started matching his word. So there is a difference in how we follow. Following at a distance has quite a few negative effects. Following at a distance, the first thing it does, church, is it leads to denial. Matthew chapter 26 is where we'll spend the rest, well, most of the rest of this evening. Matthew 26. Now Peter was sitting at the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. Remember, Jesus has just been arrested. Peter has been by his side. Peter has been in close proximity. Peter has been following Jesus at close proximity, that there's other disciples that don't get to go where he goes and do what he does. James, John, and Peter are following Jesus further into the garden. They get to go up to the mount where the transfiguration happens. And so there are three disciples that are following Jesus very close. One of them is Peter. One of them is John, who calls himself the Beloved. And we'll get there a little bit later tonight. But the Bible actually says during the Last Supper, John was so close to Jesus that he was reclining on Jesus. He was leaning on Jesus at the Last Supper. How many of you know that's a close follow? Can I encourage you to be like John, to not only be the disciple Jesus loved, but the disciple that loved Jesus back, that said, Jesus, I'm going to get so close to you that there is nothing in this world that I'm going to let between us. There is nothing in this world, come hell, come high water, come good, come bad, nothing in this world is going to squeeze their way in between you and me. Can I talk to the married couples for a little bit? I know you love her. I know you love him, but don't ever let him or her squeeze their way in between your relationship with God, because the moment they squeeze their relationship, they become your God, and they didn't die for you, they can't live for you, they can't deliver you, they can't do what Jesus did. So Peter, he's been close, but the moment trouble shows up, he backs up, he backslides. He's following Jesus, but it's no longer close following. He's left enough space for something to come in between. Now, Peter was sitting at the courtyard, and the servant girl came to him and said, you were also with Jesus of Galilee, she said. But Peter denied it before them all. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. Now, remember, fast forward, he preaches the greatest sermon that has ever been preached. in the house of Cornelius, Peter preaches in such a way that opens up the kingdom of God to Gentiles, which is you and I, and the Spirit of God baptized 3,000 all in a moment because he spoke one word. That's fast forward into the future. But let me remind you also that this is the Peter who just cut someone's ear off. This is the Peter that was always throwing a tantrum. This is the Peter that we're going to see begins to curse and cuss people out. This is a volatile person. And when someone says, I know you are a follower of Jesus, Peter says, I don't know what you're talking about. Here's the first denial. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what. I don't know. What you're talking about doesn't make sense to me. See, the issue with following Jesus is your following has to be visible. The reason that she, the Bible says, thought that he was a follower is not because she had seen him with him, but because he sounded like Jesus. Your speech has betrayed you. See, there should be a level of our living, church, where it should be visible that we are different than the world, that we are walking with Jesus, that we are a follower of Jesus, but there ought to be a difference in our speech. What we talk about, how we talk about it, what words are left out and what words are left in, what we refuse to take part in, what conversations we walk away from, what conversations we put a stop to. Said, I don't know what you're talking about. The first denial is always going to be the what. The Bible goes on to say that after he has this issue, verse 71, he goes out of the courtyard to the gateway where another servant girl, saw him and said to the people, this fellow was with Jesus. Now she's saying, I saw you with him. He denied it again with an oath, meaning he said, I promise I don't know the man. First he said, I don't know what. Now he goes beyond the what. He said, I don't know who that is. I don't know who Jesus is. We're talking about, remember, one of the greatest men to ever live is about to be birthed. But he had a moment in his life where he stopped following Jesus. Not only did he stop following Jesus, he denied that he had ever followed Jesus. Verse 73, after a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you are one of them. Your accent, there it goes, gives you away. Then he began to call down curses. Here's the thing that is mind-blowing. I've grown up reading this story one way, that he was cussing people out. I believe he was cussing people out. But this translation, and when you dig a little deeper, he was calling down curses from heaven. He was vexing people. Check this out. How are you going to call down a curse from heaven from a God that you don't say you know? You say you don't know him. How are you going to speak for him? They just said you sound like him, and now you're cussing him out, and you're cursing, and you said, I don't know the man. The first was, I don't know what. Second is, I don't know who. This is it. I don't have a relationship with Jesus. He puts it all out on the line. I don't know what you've seen. I don't know what you've heard. I don't know what you think, but I've never met him. I don't know what he's about, and I do not have a relationship with him. Verse 74. Then he began to call down curses. He said, I don't have a relationship with Jesus. Peter denied Jesus three times. Denial, write this down, creates distance. Anytime you deny Christ, anytime you don't follow Christ, and I'm not talking about every following him for a lifetime, anytime that you have a chance to get closer to Jesus and you deny that opportunity, there's distance that comes in between you and God. Have you ever heard that old expression, give the devil an inch and he will take a mile? It doesn't take much distance for the adversary to start working in your life. He was following Jesus so close, but the Bible says the first time he was in the courtyard and that first denial, then he ran out to the gateway, and now he's outside of the gateway, verse 75. Peter, remember the word Jesus had spoken, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. And here's the thing, church. Sometimes it's not a denial of who Jesus is, but it's the denial of allowing his power to work in us. He never once said Jesus is not who he said he is. He just said, I don't know Jesus. He never once said Jesus is not the Son of God. He just said, I don't know Jesus as the Son of God. He never once said Jesus can't raise the sick, raise the dead, and deliver those that are tormented by evil spirits. He never said any of that. But what he did says is, I don't know the Jesus that you think I know. Can I encourage you? I know you know Jesus, but I don't want you to deny the power of God. There is a power that comes with following Jesus. And that power is not for us to feel goosebumps for 90 minutes on a Wednesday night. That power is not for us to just tap into when we get a bad report at the hospital or we're going through something. That power is every day so that people know we are followers of Jesus Christ. Remember this, the Bible said, greater than these works shall you do. How does that happen, follower? We're full of the power and the Spirit of God. The Bible said the apostle, after Jesus was ascended into heaven, was walking down the street and his shadow was healing people that were sick. How does that happen? Someone who is following so close to Jesus, that is so full of his power, that wherever he goes, Jesus is. Wherever he goes, Jesus is. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Have nothing to do, the Bible says, with those types of people. See, I'm a blunt person. About every other sermon series or sermon, I'm almost talk about cutting the wrong kind of people out of your life. And people have actually said, man, pastor, that's kind of tough. That's kind of rough. I mean, you know, I should love them and minister to them. Loving and ministering to them and having relationship and being close to them is entirely two different things. You can minister to someone from a distance where they don't have access to pull you down to where they are. The Bible says people that act like God but don't have his power, follow him from a distance but don't have his power, don't have anything to do with such people. Verse 75 says, when he heard the rooster crow, Peter ran outside and he wept. There, that denial is causing more distance, and he wept bitterly. Following at a distance, church, leads to bitterness. Bitterness is one of the greatest tools of the adversary. If he can get you bitter, he can drag you straight to hell. If he can get you bitter, he can rob you from every good thing that God has in front of you. Bitterness is the seed of a tree that you do not want to eat from. Peter did not deny who Jesus was or what he had done, but he denied being a follower of Jesus and accessing that power. Every time we say no, church, to Jesus or about Jesus, it creates space and a distance between him and us. However, every time you say yes to Jesus and about Jesus, it closes the gap and the distance between him and you. So I want to encourage you, wake up saying yes to Jesus. That's what a follower does. Get bad news at 9 a.m., say I'm going to follow Jesus in spite of the bad news. Everything's going wrong like Peter. You've got a chance to cut people's ears off and to backslide, or you can say, God, I feel fear coming in. I'm going to get close to you. I'm going to follow you, because fear can't stay in the life of a follower. Only faith can. John chapter 21, verse 15. I love how this ends. This is after Jesus has resurrected. Jesus has shown up on the coastline. I don't have time to take you all the way there, but when he finds Peter, Peter is fishing naked. Peter's a volatile guy, guys. He's all over the place. He's cussing people out. He's calling down curses from heaven. He's taking off all of his clothes. He's swimming naked. He's fishing naked. Jesus is not who I thought he was. I'm going to deny him. I never knew him. He wept bitterly because he knew Jesus' word had come to pass. He's like a lot of us are. He's all over the place. I want to encourage somebody that feels bipolar in the spirit tonight that God is about to regulate your life. God doesn't want you all over the place anymore. God doesn't want you high as a kite on Sunday in Jesus and low of lows on Monday. God doesn't want your life to be a roller coaster. And I'm not saying that your life is perfect. I'm not naive to the entrapments of this world. But I do know this, that when you've got Jesus, he'll hit the valleys and the mountaintops with you. And if you have him, that is all you need. And you can come through anything that you are facing. Jesus calls to Simon, verse 15 of chapter 21, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Simon said, yes, Lord. He said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. That's the first yes. Remember what yeses do for your relationship with Jesus. It draws you close. He said, do you love me? Simon said, I love you, Jesus. He said, good, feed my sheep. The gap has been closed. A second time, Jesus says, hey, Simon. Yes, Lord. Do you love me more than these? Yes, God. You know I love you. Feed my sheep. Second yes, the gap is closing. Then a third time, he says, hey, Simon. Yes, Lord. Do you love me more than these? Then the Bible says that Simon was disappointed. It says, Jesus, you know all things. Why would you ask this? You know I love you. Jesus said, well, feed my sheep. Isn't it amazing that three denials took Peter far away from Christ, but three yeses brought Peter all the way back to Christ? I don't know what your no was, church. I don't know if you said no when you were angry. I don't know if you said no when you were tired. I don't know where that denial happened. I don't know where the bitterness has you tonight, but I do know where it started. It started with a moment where we were not following Jesus like we should follow him. But I love Jesus because Jesus is not like most of us. He said, you deny me three times. He said, I'm going to give you three times to get it right. Verse 18, you're going to love this. After he said yes the third time, Jesus said, feed my sheep. Verse 18, he said, truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus was prophesying of Peter's death. Then he said two words to Peter. And it's the two words that started Peter's journey. Jesus said, follow me. Well, wait a minute. He denied you. Jesus said, follow me. Well, hold on. He cussed everybody out. Follow me. Well, he cut off that guy's ear, and that's not what he was trying to do. He's trying to cut off his head. He's got an attempted murder charge back in Jerusalem, Jesus. Follow me. He's a failed fisherman, Jesus. Follow me. He literally ran out on you, Jesus. He said, follow me. The source of your problems, Peter, began when you let something in between us. You couldn't hear my voice as loud as you once could. You couldn't feel my embrace because of things that you allowed between us. But I gave you that chance three times. Do you love me? Yes, yes, yes. The embrace is back. He said, feed my sheep and follow me. So I want to talk to the follower who's hit a rough patch today. Say, is God disappointed in me? We never hear of Jesus' disappointment, lack thereof, or double disappointment. All we know is that he shows up on a coastline when Peter's having an episode, and he said, bring your naked body into this place. I'm going to clothe you. We're going to eat, but I'm going to restore you. Before I ascend to heaven, I'm going to restore you. And I'm here to encourage somebody today. I don't know why you quit following. I don't know why you're not following like you used to. I don't know why you're bitter. I don't know what you're going through, but I do know this. this, that Jesus is standing in this room and he is saying, follow me, follow me, follow me. Do you love me? Yes, I love you, God, but I'm angry. Follow me. Do you love me? Yes, God, but I'm dealing with addiction. Follow me. Do you love me? Yes, God, but I'm separated from my spouse. Follow me. None of that other stuff matters. I just need to know, do you love me and will you follow me? Stand on your feet. Do you love me and will you follow me? Yes. Yes. Sometimes it's hard, church, because we can't see Jesus. I feel, let me just say it like this. For those of you that have been married, when you said I do to an imperfect person. And in your vows, you're really saying two things. I love you, and I will follow you.